Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 9th of April, and I'm recording at 8:15 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, look at the highlights here on what's a scintillating day. And Asian stock markets, very firm. The European stock markets, after a slow start, some good gains, but not as strong as Asia for the most part. But again, the top European gains stacks up over 3%. Now, Wall Street is currently up about 3% on average among the main indices. And this is interesting because that takes the Dow back above 8,000. It's at 8,055 as I speak. And it's taken the S&P up to 851. So the rallies are being extended. Now, other highlights. Long-dated government bonds, weak with the exception of UK gilts in the Western markets. JGBs and I think the Australian long-dated government bond prices, they were barely changed. Elsewhere, the U.S. dollar is a little firmer in here again today. The euro, for instance, has fallen back to 131.60, but the Antipodean currencies are stronger than the dollar, and the yen is weakening once again. And elsewhere, precious metals. Well, actually, the two metals that most merit mention are copper, which has put on another blistering performance here today, currently up over 207 cents. That's up 7.45 on the day as I speak, not yet closed. And platinum, which has broken above $12,000 here today, currently 1205, has been a little bit higher. Gold, sluggish here overall, but it's crept back up, got down to 875. It's been fairly quiet, actually. It's currently 881 and a half. And silver, having been soft a little earlier, is currently almost unchanged on the day. Other industrial metals, incidentally, are fairly firm. I only mentioned the copper. Platinum has been behaving like an industrial metal, behaving like copper. Actually, it's been platinum that's been leading copper. Crude oil firm up here, $52. Natural gas soft once again. And the soft commodities are a bit mixed in here today, mostly a little bit easier. Okay, although not white sugar, I see. All right, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we've still got a demand-dominated environment. And this is really impressive because most markets are closed for the Easter holiday. And this is a good point for me to mention that we will be closed on Good Friday, and we will also be closed on Easter Monday. So normal service resumes on next Tuesday. Okay, so what's going on here? I mentioned a demand-dominated environment here in terms of stock markets. Now, some of the things you may recall, I've often mentioned that if we were going to get as good a rally as I thought we were going to get back in the middle of March, that it would be very persistent. And I think this rally does qualify. How do we define persistence? Well, we haven't seen much in the way of any downward dynamics. Previous bear market rallies have mostly been choppy. You know, you get a sharp wave of short covering, and it comes slamming down, and ranges higher and a little bit more short covering. It's very high volatility, a very high volatility factor. This has been just a grinding it out rally, and it continues to do so. And some of these trends are remarkably consistent, showing a staircase step sequence. I've posted a lot of charts, incidentally, today in a review of stock market indices. And I think it's worthy of your interests, if you don't mind sacrificing a little of your Easter holiday time, and to check out really what's going on here overall. Now, one thing I should point out, and I didn't mention this in my comment of the day, but I can always put more information into the audio, that psychologically, I think next week is reasonably important. I don't want to overemphasize this, but what I'm thinking of is, you remember in the build-up to the Christmas holiday, Christmas and New Year's holiday, well, stock markets were quite firm then. A lot of people were away. And they came in, and on the 3rd of January, they were strong. And then they got whacked, and the rest you know. Down in January, down in February, and down in early March for the most part. Not all of them, but certainly the Western stock markets. Now, so we're winding down to another holiday, although a less important one overall. If stock markets are firm next week, and I'd give that the benefit of the doubt at this stage, then that really will pressure some of that cash that's sitting on the sidelines. Remember, I've described it also as when the fear of being out of a market that's continuing to rise becomes greater than the fear of being long and caught in another downturn. We seem to have that type of environment. And the short selling efforts that we have seen to date during this rally have kind of been one day wonders for the most part. Now, this, as I say, the technical action is really quite good, and I won't go into all the little minutiae of it, but if you read the review, the chart review, it's not hard to monitor these trends at the moment. And the more consistent a trend is, the easier it is to monitor, and the quicker we see signs of divergence that it's ending. So far, so good. This rally has absorbed or seen off an overbought condition. Well, I shouldn't say seen off, it's absorbed it, because we still have that short-term overbought condition. But you know, those indicators can get overbought very early and remain overbought for quite some time, just as on the way down. We saw on many occasions that short-term indicators can get oversold and stay oversold for quite some time. So this market has absorbed the overbought conditions and any short selling attempts, and we've had these orderly, persistent overall trends. Now, that is far more conducive to base formation development and the beginning of a new bull market than just another bear market rally before all things go lower. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Owen and I have emphasized over and over and over again that we do not have confirmation of a new sustainable uptrend, a new bull market, until stock markets not only break above their 200-day moving averages, but those averages also turn upwards. Now, that occurs, obviously, well after the actual lows for stock markets. It really occurs as base formations or sometime after base formations have been completed. But we continue to head in the right direction. And you remember really from October or November that when I described that action back then as climactic and the beginning of the end for the bear market, and that the prognosis was for a long convalescence, meaning lots of ranging reversion to the mean. Well, I think that's exactly what we've seen and continue to see. And the mean in terms of those declining 200-day moving averages best seen on weekly charts. Now, some of those stock markets are breaking above those moving averages. So China's done it. I think Brazil has done it. I think Taiwan has done it, and others are testing those levels or not that far off it. We have certainly a certain amount of type 3 base formation activity. Indeed, for my digression for students of the chart seminar, we had that type 1 climactic activity if we go back to those October lows. And that was then followed by the type 3 ranging activity, which is certainly typical of financial crises as opposed to just monetary adjustments, and in other words, high interest rates. And we are also seeing now, I believe, some type 2 very persistent upward moves, which really do change sentiment. And isn't it funny the way an improved performance by stock market indices shapes or reshapes the way some of the news is reported? It's less nightmarish. There are, to use the funny comment, the green shoots. Timely, it's spring, isn't it? Spring in the West, at any rate. So it's looking very interesting overall. Now, I wouldn't rule out the possibility, I can't rule out the possibility that Wall Street could still be a spoiler for a while longer. We have the least evidence of sustainable lows in the Western stock markets. I would say in Asia, it's pretty much game, set, and match to the bulls. But Wall Street could still be a spoiler. In other words, if we were to see a retest of the lows by Wall Street, and I am not forecasting that at this time, something's got to go wrong with the consistent orderly uptrends before we can even think about that, or before that becomes a technical possibility, I'd put it that way. But if Wall Street were to do that, were to be quite weak, I think all that would do, or the worst that that would do to these high-performing Asian markets and the high-performing South American resources markets and the high-performing tech and telecom markets would be to pull them back for base extension. So this is a good environment overall. I maintain it's the psychological perception stage one, the first psychological perception stage of a new bull market. When the lows are rising, they're not rising for all markets yet, but they are for a number of them. When the lows are rising and indicating that demand has regained the upper hand, but yet most people don't believe it, their perceptions are that risk is actually highest. The perception is always that risks are highest at a market low. But we know from the fact that they are so cautious, they don't believe it, that they hold a lot of cash, which they raised during the prior bear trend. And that cash is, of course, the fuel for the next bull run. We also know that short sellers are walking wounded in this environment because they've been squeezed more since that early March low than really at any other time in the cycle. Okay, what about those long dated government bonds? Well, it's taking the constant promise or threat, more likely, of quantitative easing to keep prices steady, and I think I really must open a short position in this sector. Maybe the markets range around for a while because there will be so much economic uncertainty, but the patterns look awful. I wish I could short the Australian long-dated government bonds, but it's not available on my spread bet system. Now, what else? Looking at currencies, this is interesting. The yen remains weak. I think the best plays in here are really the Australian dollar against the yen, the New Zealand dollar. I don't like the US dollar, but one has to be a little bit careful. I opened when I had a decent trade in euro dollar, you might remember a while back, although I got out too early because I was baby stepping it. I opened a short in the dollar against the Singapore dollar, was at the beginning of this week, I think, and but I'm underwater on that a little bit, not significantly. So the dollar is still ranging around overall. It's been firm most of this week, but the Australian dollar looks like a buy against it. So does the New Zealand dollar. So does the Norwegian krone. I already mentioned the Singapore dollar. Asian currencies generally look attractive to me, and I think the greenback is a short against the Canadian dollar. So interesting, and I might do more in this next week. I do have an awful lot of positions open at the moment, and some fairly chunky ones. So I might prefer to take some profits in some of those areas. I mean, I can always leverage up behind trailing stops, but I find if I have too many positions, it's not all that easy to be on the ball in terms of monitoring it all. But that's a human flaw. I maintain we're spoiled for choice in terms of various different markets. Now, in soft commodities, there's been a lot of bullish talk for quite some time, led by Jim Rogers. And as you know, we have a certain amount of sympathy with that, but we do prefer the industrial commodities, which led the way up last time and are doing so again this time, and also precious metals. And I'll have to say more about those precious metals in a moment. But as far as the agricultural commodities are concerned, I think, again, when we're spoiled for choice, there are some big contangos in there. So you really want to go for ones that where the contangos are small. Rogers keeps mentioning copper. I'm not copper. It's industrial commodity, of course. Keeps mentioning cotton. But it's a very big contango. I don't doubt that cotton's cheap and that it will eventually move higher. The next significant move will be upwards, but the contango is very expensive. So the running costs of a futures position there are high. However, soybeans are currently in a backwardation. Rough rice, I believe, is in a backwardation. So I would very much focus on the agricultural commodities if you wish to focus on agricultural commodities, the ones that are in backwardations. And with industrial commodities, I would favor the ones that are either in backwardation, there are a few of those, or where we have a very small contango. And that's been the case with copper, for instance, whereas natural gas has a huge contango, although it's also very cheap. But you know, if it just were to go sideways for 3 months, you get nibbled to death by that contango. Gold. I was going to talk more about gold. I've said it pretty much every day, but that we're in this awkward period where the Armageddon buyers, the economic collapse and mayhem buyers, which always said that they would not stick around, and they aren't. They're moving away. They're going into stock markets or whatever. And that's a bit of a drag, as is the certainty of some IMF gold sales. And that's a weight on bullion, and that hasn't been offset yet by the hard money buyers. And one of the reasons for that is because when the dollar has not unraveled. It's looking vulnerable and toppy, in my opinion, but it hasn't, I've already said it hasn't unraveled. And also, gold's getting competition. It had very little competition other than long-dated government bonds. Then those went by the wayside. Well, some feel that they can hang on to them, but I think it's a very dangerous area. So, gold is facing competition from stock markets and other commodities. But don't be surprised if we see a steadier tone here before long. My guess, and it can't be any more than a guess. First, we see a short-term oversold condition, and gold is back to its 200-day moving average, which had tipped upwards not all that long ago. My guess is that there isn't much risk in here at this stage. But the chart's a little bit uncertain. In the past, it's paid to buy these precious metals on setbacks when the chart has looked a bit dodgy, and it's tended not to pay to pay up for them or to buy them when they're just coming off what has been a strong run. So again, I think it remains an interesting sector, and I see that gold shares, which lagged when bullion bottomed back in October, because stock markets were so weak, the gold shares have held up quite well in here as bullion has drifted a bit lower. And I think that's pretty much it. So I'll just say have an absolutely wonderful weekend, a long weekend I hope you have, and we'll be back on Tuesday. All the very best to all of you.